Do you ever notice that if someone says to you, don't worry, usually the first thing you do is have a little panic attack because it probably means there's something going on that probably you should be worried about. We live in a world, we think, why are you telling me this? You know, we live in a world where there are a lot of potential causes for anxiety. There's a lot of legitimate reasons to have concerns. And we can talk about a message about overcoming anxiety or saying, don't worry, don't be anxious. But that has to depend on actual truth. Because if there was no God, if this world is all it is in the way they tell us, there's no reason I should tell you not to be worried. I mean, if you're a little mouse living out in the woods, you should be anxious all the time. Because there's a whole woods there that wants to eat you. Okay, and you should never be at rest. You should always be looking around and be worried like that. If there is no God, if we are just a accident of this universe that does not care about you at all, then you should realize that there's no one looking out for you. There's a whole universe there that could kill you at any moment. You're never really safe. You think you're safe in here. A meteor could come and kill us all right now. You don't know. There's sometimes the unexpected happens. There's all kinds of reasons. If we're just accidents, an accident could take you out at any moment, and there'd be no reason, no plan behind it at all. And sometimes, as believers, we need to, you have to be careful when you do this, but sometimes for a little bit, put yourself in the mindset, what if you didn't believe everything that you believe from Scripture? What would it be like to step out of the refuge that we have in Christ? And to just imagine what it would be like to really realize that we're just here as accidents, the universe doesn't care, any accident at any moment could take us out, no one watching out for us. That's terrifying. And you think of how the rest of the world, that's what they experience all the time. And the only way they can really deal with it is, well, to either distract themselves so they're not thinking about it, or maybe to medicate themselves, get some good pills to help them so they can feel better about the fact that their meaningless life could be snuffed out at any moment. So as Christians, I want you to just think about what that would be like for a bit to make you appreciate how good it is to believe what we're going to read in this passage and how good it is to realize that we can have genuine refuge and genuine safety. And I also want to say, if you don't know what that safety is like, if you don't know what it's like to have your refuge in the mighty fortress of Jesus Christ, and if you're living there and all you can do is distract yourself or medicate yourself or try to control your own life, thinking that somehow if you control it enough, you can keep yourself safe, to realize that there's something that we have to offer you, something that God is telling us, this is offered to you through the Word of God, given as a free gift to you. That through the promises of God, the price has been paid for you already to enter this fortress in which you will be ultimately safe through Jesus Christ, who has paid it all on your behalf. Let us turn to this passage and read Jesus' words, Luke chapter 12, and we're going to read 22 through 34, and we'll unpack these words. It says, and he said to his disciples, let me just stop. I was going to read, but he's saying this to the disciples. Remember, this isn't just to the disciples. It's not just blanket for everyone, disciples, those that are following him, those that have trusted Jesus. He said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life and what you will eat, nor about your body and what you will put on, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouses nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of life? If then you are not able to do such a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what are you to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourself with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This is a beautiful, beautiful passage. And I hope you keep thinking about this beyond just today. Meditate on this. Think it through. But we're going to talk about this. And a main point here, Jesus tells us, is to not be anxious. Not worry. Don't be anxious. We're going to break this apart. And we're going to look at some of the reasons that are in this passage of why you shouldn't be anxious. Why you can... What are the reasons that are given? Jesus tells us don't be anxious, but he gives us reasons for that. The first one that we'll look at, he says here, and if you have a bird phobia, trigger warning before you look at the screen here. We got some birds there. So the first is to stop worrying about things you don't need to worry about. This is why we tend to worry about so many things. And part of what Jesus is telling us in these first few verses is that part of it, we're anxious because we're worrying about stuff we don't need to be worrying about. He tells us, and therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or about your body, what you'll put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. These are not the things that determine us. These are not the things that will make or break our life. You wouldn't know that from commercials. You wouldn't know that from magazine ads and from the way people talk. That to them, that these are the things that will make or break your life. You know, if you can have the right clothes, that determines your status. For us, it's not just a matter of having food. It's you eat the right food. You know, especially something that you can, you know, take a nice picture of and put on Instagram so people can see, oh, look at that. I mean, there are people that they want to advertise these things because it's some kind of status symbol, but what they're eating. I mean, back in this day, they didn't have Amazon.com and all the other things that we can buy too, but think of how much more that we worry about in addition. You know, what car you have and this and that and all these things that become to us how we measure ourselves and what we think this is important and how we want people to see us because of these things. We worry that our possessions, our food or clothes, will make or break our life. And it's not just if we have enough. We have to have enough of the right things. So many of these things, they're not even close to being actual needs. Realize we're not worrying about needs most of the time. We're worried about our wants. Things that we just want to have. And this week, we got Black Friday coming up. We got all that. You're going to be standing in line before midnight for hours to get stuff that you want. You're going to be going to stores and realize, I got to have this because you didn't even know it existed, but it's on sale, it's cheap now, and I'll save so much money. You know, if you didn't buy it at all, you'd save even more money. Just saying. But this is the time of year. I mean, everyone's going to do all they can to get your juices pumping that you need these things. It's going to make or break your life. We fall into that. You can fall into that at any age, worrying about what we wear. I remember having a distinct memory. I think I was in junior high, and I don't know why I remember this so well, but I remember being on a youth retreat with the youth group in our area, and we're in this hotel for a message, and I don't remember what was on, but I remember we're all sitting on the ground, but I remember thinking this as I'm laying there, that because I'd wanted some new tennis shoes, and this would have been the late 80s, and I remember I specifically wanted that's it written down here. Yeah, it was a Via Transports back in the day. And they're a specific type, and I wanted those because they were the highest of all the high tops. This was kind of late 80s. You had these big old high tops that almost like little boots, and it had the most straps on it and the most little decorations and fancy colors. And I actually remember, I remember sitting there, and I remember thinking if I had these, and I kind of had this imaginary scenario. I imagined like the girls in the youth group, like looking at my shoes and admiring them. You know, like, ooh. That'll solve my problems. I went last night to see if I could have find a picture of them, and I found a different one, and it was some other brand, the Via 880s. I'm like, I remember having those shoes, and they were big and they had all the straps and stuff. I don't think it worked the way I was hoping it would. I don't remember that, you know, just fawning, ooh. Look at those shoes. But we think that, don't we? You know, they'll see this in our life. And maybe it's not our shoes, but our car. Or, if we just have that countertop, you know, they'll be so impressed. Or whatever it is. These things that we think are so important for our life. But instead, Jesus tells us, and he says, hey, life is more than this. Your body is more than your clothing. And then he says in verse 24, consider the ravens. Jesus says, I want you to think about the birds, okay? They neither sow nor reap, and this isn't about sowing. This is about planting crops and harvesting their crops. They don't do that. They just go and find it. They go out to there's crows. Ravens are big crows, basically. You know, I have an office looking out in a cornfield, and there's a lot of crows out there a lot of times making their noise, and you know, they're not working for their food. They're not stressing out. And so Jesus is saying, think about them. They don't do this. They're not building their bigger barns like the guy from the passage last week. Yet God feeds them. He takes care of them. They have plenty to eat. On our road by our house alone, there's a never-ending supply of roadkill raccoons for the crows. You know, God is giving them what they need. And so his point by this is, if God's taking care of them, who do you think that God cares about more? You realize, we talk about the ravens. Sometimes our mind goes to, you know, pretty birds. You know, ravens were considered unclean in the Old Testament law. They were considered, you know, you didn't eat them. They were kind of detestable. Them and crows, you know, they eat the dead raccoons and all this. But if God cares for them, how much more is he, your Father in heaven, going to care for you? It's one thing for me to say this. It's another thing for you to let that sink in to your heart. And that's what Jesus wants for you today. You know, yesterday, I have told you before about my daughter Zoe's pet praying mantis, Deathstroke. Okay, he's still alive. He's still making it. We've had him for over 4 months now. And I would spend every night going out and collecting moths. The moth season is over. Okay? And for a while, there was box elders all over the house, which usually are irritating, unless you're trying to provide for the hungry mouth of a praying mantis in your home. And then you can go out and just pick those, although he didn't like them as much. But now, you know, we have snow. We don't have those. And I'm like, how long is this guy going to live? But he's hanging in there, and but we're worried, like, he can't go that long without food. So I had sent Hope went to the bait and tackle shop in Hastings and get a thing of, what were they, mealworms? So we're trying to get him to eat these, you know, mealworms, and he wasn't very interested. So we were worried about him. So yesterday, Zoe and I are getting Deathstroke, the praying mantis, out, and had him, like, crawling around in my hand. and she's trying to put the little mealworm in front of him to get him interested, and eventually we got him to take it, and we were all happy, and we're giving high fives, and then I'm sitting there realizing, I'm sitting here with a bug on my hand, eating a worm, it's getting worm guts all over my hand, he's spinning around and eating, thinking of the things I'm doing, the amount of care I'm giving to keep, you know, Deathstroke the praying mantis alive. And it kind of hit me. You know, if I said Zoe and I are doing this together, let me just ask you, if you had a guess, who do you think that I care and love more, the praying mantis or my daughter Zoe? If you had to guess. I heard somebody guess Zoe. Now, why would you think that's the case? She's my daughter. I'm her dad. I mean, that's all the reason you need. There's plenty of reasons, but that's just it. You know, if I'm willing to take care of this bug, okay, to be collecting moths for it, pulling box elders off the house, to be having, worm guts all over my hand, this thing crawling around me, how much more? As her father, I'm imperfect, but still, even as her imperfect father, am I going to take care of Zoe to make sure she has what she needs? Now, I'm an imperfect father, and sometimes even more imperfect than other times. But if I'm willing to do that for my child, think of what this passage keeps saying. How does it refer to God? It, over and over, Father. Jesus taught, pray to him as your Father in heaven. And there's no mistake why it keeps referring to God as Father in this passage. If God as Father is willing to take care of the pets, how much more is he willing to take care of you, his child? Yet sometimes we worry. Oh, maybe he's going to let us starve. Maybe he's not going to give us what we really need. He's our Father. There's an anonymous poem. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Second in this passage, we need to not have anxiety. We cannot have anxiety because we need to realize that you can't add to your life through worrying about it. Sometimes we think you can. If you worry enough, you can add hours or decades to your life. If you do just the right things, you can have this extended life and keep going. Jesus says here, and which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to the span of his life? If then you are not able to do such a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? If you're reading this from the King James, it translates it a little bit different. It says, and which of you, though taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? Both translations are possible. I think adding an hour to your life fits with the flow of this passage better. We can't worry our way into longer lives. In fact, if you spend most of your life worrying, you're probably going to decrease your lifespan and give yourself a lot of ulcers in the meantime. Worry doesn't have that power to do this. If anything, it makes things worse. You can't add to your life by worrying. So if it doesn't help, Jesus is saying, why worry? Why do it? Now, yes, you know, do what you can. Okay, there's things to be responsible for. We want to be good stewards for our body. We get that. And for what we can't control, we pray about that and we put it into the Lord's hands, acknowledging that he is ultimately in control of this. Now, somebody might say, well, you know what? Worrying does kind of help, because if you worry, then you're going to take certain precautions. You're going to avoid certain things. Okay? Worrying keeps us safe. It keeps us prepared. Okay, there's a difference between healthy concern, healthy stewardship of our bodies, and just worry, 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 worry. we should be good stewards. I believe the Bible talks about that. We should care about our body, which is a gift from the Lord. Actions can help, but not anxiety. Anxiety, we're worrying about things we can't even control. It's like revving the engine and you're not even in gear and all you're doing is burning through your gas. I saw a story, I don't remember who she was, but some lady that was some supposed fitness expert, and for whatever reason, she died. And she was pretty young and just died. You can be the biggest fitness expert in the world and do all these things that they tell you this will add this many years, and statistically, you know what? God's in control of all this. And you have fitness experts that die young, and you have people that live their whole life eating Cheetos and Mountain Dew and live to be 100. Okay? Because ultimately, God has appointed the day and the hour. Looked at some of these stories. Saw something, a 27-year-old male fitness expert, 27 years old, he gets the flu. He dies. More healthy than I've ever been, but he's taken out. Some of you may have heard of this. This is back in 1971. There was a fitness expert who went by the name of Mr. Organic. And he wrote all these books, and he was into like organic eating way before it was popular. And he had books and different things, and Jerome Rondell. And he was on a talk show, the Dick Cavett Show, back in 1971, talking about his healthy diets and all this, and he said that he planned to live to 100. They went to a commercial break. They came back with a different guest, and so he's sitting on the couch next to him as the talk show host is talking to this other guest. This guy starts gasping. At first, they think he's just messing around. He has a heart attack, and he drops dead there right while they're taping the show. Right after claiming he's going to live to be 100 with his healthy diet. I found another report. This is a French fitness model. I don't know who these people are. And she was a fitness expert. And this report said she died, quote, in a freak accident with a whipped cream dispenser. Now you got to add that to your list of things that you're anxious about. That you could actually be taken out by your whipped cream dispenser? I guess it exploded and killed her. If we are accidents in a universe full of accidents, I cannot tell you not to be anxious. But if we live in the world that this book tells you about, controlled by a God that loves you and is your Father through Jesus Christ, changes everything. Let that sink into your heart. Satan wants you to worry. Because ultimately, this message, yeah, it's about you and about your health and not worrying. This message is about the glory of God. And when we worry, when we're distrusting God, it pushes us away from him. It dishonors him. But when we do trust him, even in the spite of living in this hostile world, that gives him glory. And it gives you the comfort. And as we've been saying, you know, Jesus is saying there's a time pointed to us. Yes, be good stewards of your body, but remember that you will die on time. And really, that's a freeing thing to realize, isn't it? That God has appointed this. Do you realize what that means? That means until that time, you're immortal. God has set that time, and until that time comes, you know, you're going to be here until the work he has for you is done. And when he's accomplished the work he has for you, he's going to be glorified as he takes you into the next life, and he takes you home to him. That's a Christian message. So even when we leave this, we get to go be with Jesus. I mean, that's what fills our heart with hope as we're thinking this past week about the Lord taking Betty to himself. And she was immortal until God said, come home. And she gets to be with him. That's why we're sad, but we're full of joy through this. Because we have a Father in heaven. And point three, your caring father knows all your real needs. He says, consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. He's talking about spinning cloth, in case you're wondering, just, you know, spinning around. No, so they're not making cloth. They're not doing this. They're not worrying about their clothes to make them look all beautiful. Yet Jesus says, I tell you, even Solomon, King Solomon, who could afford all the best clothes that, you know, back in those days, you know, to get the nice clothes with the nice dyes, most people couldn't have that, but Solomon could. He could have all this. It says he wasn't even arrayed like one of these. If God so clothes the grass, which it's there, and then you chop it down and it gets burned up, how much more is he going to clothe you? Martin Luther said this about the lesson of the flowers. He said, it seems that the flowers stand there and make us blush and become our teachers. Thank you, flowers, you who are to be devoured by the cows. God has exalted you very highly, that you have become our masters and teachers. You think about the flowers. We got some flowers here. There's some beautiful flowers. I know a lot about flowers, so I can tell you a few things. Let's see. This one here, that's a yellow flower. That's a white flower. We'll call this one a pink flower. But these are little white flowers. But let me ask you. I have a volunteer here. Who here likes flowers? Okay, some of you do. Who would be willing to, I hope this is okay, trade me one of your children for these flowers? Like for real. Would you be willing? You could. Some of you are a little too tempted right now. Okay. You can wreck my illustration if you actually go for it. We might joke around about that, but the truth is, of course you're not going to trade your children. Because even if we had the biggest bouquet of the most beautiful flowers here, what is the reason why you wouldn't actually trade your child for flowers? Because you value your child more. You love your child more. Even if you love flowers, even if you think they're great, you love your child more than that. Again, let that be the point that Jesus is trying to get across to us. If God is willing to take care of the flowers and make the grass look pretty with flowers, how much more is he going to care for his children? Those that he has adopted, those that Christ shed his blood for. He did that, and you think he's not going to give you just what you need? You might not get all your wants, yeah, but you never get all your wants, because even if you got all your wants, there'd be a list of 500 more wants you'd want. They just keep going. But as far as what you really need, the good things for your life and preparing you for glory, things turning your heart towards him, sometimes what we need is to have our hearts turned away from the things of this world. So they're turned towards him, because he is our lasting treasure. He needs to do this so that, because he is ultimately what we need, and he turns our hearts so we also want him, not just what he gives us, but him, because then you're going to get the desire of your heart. You're going to get that and have glory forever and ever and ever. He says, oh, ye of little faith. Unbelief in our Father is what brings anxiety so often. That somehow we, through sin, which sin doesn't make sense, sin is not rational, we know that God is our Father, and yet we think that he's just going to let us go out there and not take care of us. And again, well, think about this. It's winter time. I am not going to, and you are not going to, you know, send out your child into the bitter cold without a jacket. Okay? You're not going to, our kids probably aren't worrying that we're not going to feed them, we're going to let them just starve to death. They know that we are going to take care of them. They might not get everything they want, but we're going to take care of them with their basic needs. And if that's true, if I'm not going to let Zoe or Luke go out into the freezing cold without a jacket, let me ask, who is a better father? Me or God the Heavenly Father? If you had a vote. How many of you vote for me as the better father? Hands up. I'm looking around. Oh, if you think I'm a okay father, I'm trying. But how many of you think God is a better father? And my kids is too. It's okay for you to raise your hand. God is a way better father. I don't want you to think this is as good as it gets. If God is a better father, and if we are going to provide for our kids, how much more is he going to do that? That's the point. We need to tell ourselves that it's irrational to think otherwise. It's at times it could be sinful. If our kids were actually doubting that, I think my parents are going to let me starve to death, it'd be like, what's going on? Why would you think that? It'd be a dishonor to think that. And so when we think that God is going to let us down, if you worry that God is not going to take care of your basic needs, when we worry like that, we're saying that we think that we are better parents than God. This becomes a sin issue if we're thinking like that. That God isn't doing the decent things that even we, as a good parent, would do. Again, okay, but you might think, okay, it's one thing to say God will give us everything we need, and we recognize we're not talking about wants, okay. He'll give us what we need. But you might think, but isn't there a time, isn't it true, that sometimes, well, people don't have what they need? Isn't it true that sometimes, will we die? I mean, if God always gave us what we need to extend our life, wouldn't we live forever? So there's a way you might think, or Satan might tempt you to think, well, this can't really be true because God doesn't always really give us what we need, or else we wouldn't die. He would just take care of us forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I think about it this way. For those of you with parents, when you send your kid to school, you send them with lunch money, or you pack a lunch for them, don't you? And you probably don't give them an infinite supply of lunch money. Okay, you probably don't pack them an infinite supply of sandwiches, right? You give them exactly as much as they need for the time that they're going to be there. We send with them enough to last until it's their time to come home. And that's what our Father does too. He gives us exactly what we need until it's our time to come home. And until that time, he will take care of you. He will give you what you need. And then after that, you're home. You get God's home cooking. You're with him. He's always going to provide for you on this earth and in the next. And therefore, the application at the end, we've been saying don't. Don't have anxiety. Don't fear. Don't do this. These are good don'ts to be told. But here it tells us what we should do. What we should do is seek God's kingdom. Seeking God's kingdom is more important than the things we worry over. So why shouldn't we worry? This is the last reason. Don't worry about the wrong things. Worry about be concerned about the ultimate things. Live for his kingdom. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. See, all the times it says Father in here. Therefore, we can sell our possessions. We can divest of some of these things. We don't have to be like the man building bigger barns, thinking that we have to hoard because that's where our security comes from. There's proper savings, and we get that, and that's responsibility. But it's not that security comes from hoarding. And so if we believe that, we can take so much of this that we would be hoarding for our security, and we can use it for his purposes. We can give to those that have genuine needs. We can try to help those in the best way that we can. We can give to God's work, to the expansion of the gospel, for missionaries that are helping people to have true spiritual bread through Jesus Christ and knowing him. We can be good stewards of what God has for us. We can invest what we have, to use what we have wisely for the spiritual and physical needs and good of others and the glory of God. Pray that God would help us to have these things continue to sink in and to illuminate to us the ways that we can apply this. And again, this isn't just about us, it's about God. When you trust God, you glorify God. And when you trust God, when you trust your Heavenly Father, you overcome anxiety. Therefore, glorify your Heavenly Father by trusting him and overcoming anxiety. Let's pray. Lord, we pray to you as our Father. And we thank you that we have scripture to tell us that we can do that. That's not an outlandish thing for us. It is, except that you've told us to pray to you as our Father. And that as believers in Jesus Christ, we have the adoption as sons. We have the Holy Spirit that testifies with our spirit that we are the sons of God, his children. And we know that you are a perfect Father. You will never disown us. You will never not take care of us. You will always be there for us. You will give us what is genuinely best. And even when we start going after the wrong things, Lord, you'll help us and turn our hearts back to you, Lord God, because you are what's best. You satisfy, Lord. So help us trust you enough, even when to our physical eyes it looks like the world is against us, Lord. You're with us. We can flee to you. We can trust you. Help us bring glory to you by trusting our Father. We pray these things through Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.